Thank you so much for tuning in to the Hillside Church podcast. We believe God loves you, your past doesn't define you, and that God has good days ahead. Thanks for listening to the sermon. Our hope is that it equips you, inspires you, and encourages you in your faith.
Well, I want to just ask a favor of you, if we could celebrate those taking in service online and those that are here for the first time. Can we just give them a round of applause? I want to say it's really good to have you here. And if you made it into service already and haven't got a gift as a first-time guest, know that we've got one for you as you leave today. You want it, y'all. It's some coffee crossing, everybody. So listen, I do, again, want to welcome you. I'm just so glad that you're here. Y'all, it's Easter. And he is alive, Jesus. He is risen. And man, we're so grateful for his kindness to us. And man, what a special time just to have you here. And I want to invite you, if you have your Bible or if you have the Bible app on your phone, okay, we welcome that here at Hillside. I want to just encourage you to jump ahead with me to John chapter 14. That's in the New Testament, and that is four books in. So a little to the right of your middle of your Bible, everybody. But John 14, and we'll be looking here in just a moment at verses 1 through 3. But we have been in a series, and we're really, you know, I'm putting a quick knot on the series we are coming out of. We have been in a series looking at the last words of Jesus. Well, today we're going to look at not the last words, but some words before the last words of Jesus. But he made his final statement, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Those are the last words of Jesus on the cross. And I want to tell you that that wasn't haphazard. Jesus wasn't on the cross kind of looking around thinking, well, what next? Like, what are my options? Where am I going to send my spirit? You know, he was clear. He had lived a life submitted, surrendered to God the Father. And so it was natural. I don't want to say it was easy, but I do believe it was simple for him. In his last breath, his last statements to say, "Father, it's into your hands that I commit my spirit." And Jesus is bringing a fulfillment of some verses that we find in John chapter 14, 1 through 3. Let's read these together. Jesus, with his disciples, he says this, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God," meaning you believe in Yahweh, you believe in Abba, you believe in the Father, what we call our Heavenly Father. You believe in him, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Preparation, the word prepare. Whether you are new to church, new to faith, new to Jesus, one distinct characteristic about Jesus is that he is a good leader. He knows how to love well. Some ancient scriptures in Psalm 23, it's written that the Lord is my shepherd. We believe as Christians that we have a good shepherd, so to speak, in Jesus, and that he leads us well. And you may ask, well, what was Jesus doing in between Good Friday and resurrection? He was up to a lot of good things. But I do know one thing that is fulfilled in the resurrection is that God has gone to prepare a place for you. He's gone to prepare a place for you. As I was studying and praying this week, I was thinking about that word prepare, preparation. I mean, let's just clear the air real quick. You can raise your hands on this one. How many of you like to prepare ahead? Come on. Come on. All right. Good luck with the rest of us, okay? But I think of the word prepare. Like, that's a loaded statement for me as a pastor, as a husband, as a father. But you know what prepare means? It's very simply to put in proper condition or readiness. And it's changed for me over the years. I remember I grew up, as I was growing up in my home, in the subculture of church world, in life, in school, it seemed like everywhere I turned, there was one phrase that was louder than every other phrase. And it probably had to do with my personality and what was happening in my life. But how many of you, have you ever heard this phrase? Those who fail to plan, plan to fail. How many of you just got triggered right there? We're going to pray for you. I would go home. I would be getting ready for bed, and I just, you know, my mom's voice in the background, Paul, those who fail to plan, plan to fail. I'll never forget racing into Seymour High School parking lot, everybody, on a Saturday morning for the SAT. Sitting down, forgetting my calculator. Needless to say, I took the SAT a couple more times after that Saturday. I was not prepared. I was not prepped. I think about in our home, come on, it's Easter Sunday. Y'all did a good job preparing yourselves, okay? Let me just say that, Hillside. Those online, I can't speak for you. I'm saying that by faith, okay? You over there in your PJs, I get it. But I do want to say, I in our home, prepare means something different. Nobody fills you in when you get married, and certainly when you become a father with two daughters. Nobody quite prepares you, pun intended, for the preparation needed to leave the house, somebody. I had no clue. I had no clue. I remember, with Kelly and I, now going on 18 years this November, but, you know, first years of marriage, I had no idea. I thought 5 minutes meant 5 minutes. I was clueless. Now with my daughters, I'll be like, come on, let's go, man. We're just going to run. We live over in Sellersburg. I'm like, man, let's just go to JC. Let's be quick. Come on, just like, let's go. Dad, it's going to be 10 minutes. I'm like, it's JC. Have you been in JC? I know, Dad, but. Prepare, man. You got to be prepared. It feels like you just got to be prepped. You got to be ready. I know this Easter Sunday, how many other men, come on, you had your preparation done and you never thought about it again, man. Done and dusted. Easter, I'm ready. I'm coming for you. You ladies, you may have changed outfits about 10 times, and that's okay, because that's why y'all look good compared with the rest of us. But I think about that word prepare, and preparation, if you think about it, it's key to much of life. Some of you students, whether in high school or college, or some of you that are going back to school, you're preparing right now. You're preparing right now for a career, for something in your future. You know, it's nothing more peaceful than being prepped, somebody. I can officially say that, than being prepared. And there is nothing in my life that causes more anxiety and a rush of adrenaline than being somewhere unprepared. Unprepared. I think about that SAT. Lord, I still get that rush of blood to my hands. I have this recurring dream. I don't know if y'all ever have those recurring dreams. I have a recurring dream. Don't know why. I passed all my math exams in college, but there's one class that I've yet to take in order to graduate. And I'm unprepared. I'm like, I took math 2 years ago. Well, sir, it's not on your documents. You're not going to graduate. It's a panic dream. Like, I graduated, everything's great. But it's a moment of unpreparedness and a panic. There's nothing quite like that. And here's the context of John 14. John 14, Jesus has washed his disciples' feet. He knows the ground that they've been living on is about to get a little shaky. He knows that things are going to become uneasy. He feels the tension in himself. He's fully aware. You read the Gospel of John, you will find out Jesus was fully aware of where he was going and what would be happening. That's one of the key nuances in the Gospel of John. He's aware, but his disciples are unaware. If we can say this, his disciples were not prepared for what Jesus was going to do. And Jesus, much like God the Father, he doesn't leave us in our panic. He doesn't leave us in our fear or anxieties. For some of you, you hear that eternal whisper of heaven in your soul. I'm prepared for all of life's unpreparedness. Some of you know that, you've felt that, you've sensed that in some of the shaking ground maybe that you've been living in. Some of the places that you've endured and struggled through. I remember a pastor sharing that no thought has ever occurred to God. Yeah, how about that for Easter Sunday? But think about that. No thought has ever occurred. Like nothing suddenly dawned on him. He is before all things, and in him, Scripture says, all things are holding together. And God's prepared a place for you. Listen, here's the deal. Skeptics, doubters, fear-filled hearts, God's prepared a place for you. Struggling in sin cycles or the grip of consequences, mistakes you've made, God's prepared a place for you. Jesus is looking in the disciples' eyes, and depending on your familiarity of Scripture, you may think the disciples as some holy men of God, as some, you know, professional pastor types. They were nothing of the sort. Jesus critically, crucially invited disciples that every other rabbi around the time would not have any time for. But Jesus, representing the heart of the Father, went to those who may have been marginalized or excluded, and he said, hey, come follow me. And so you can picture with me at the Last Supper, you've got Judas. We'll leave him to the side. You got Peter. You got Matthew. You can go on all the way down the list. You've got Thomas, who would be the hardest for him to wrap his mind around what Jesus was going to do. And he looks at them in the eye, and this may be the word for you in this moment. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Don't let your hearts be troubled. And Jesus says, why? Because I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to be with me. I like to put it this way. Jesus is gone to prepare a place for us tomorrow. That's the power of the resurrection, is that he put death in its grave. And 2,000 years ago, what started in Genesis 3 with Adam and Eve was ended by Christ Jesus on the cross, who defeated death, the power of sin, and he put the grave in its grave, so to speak. And he rose again, that he has gone to prepare a place for us. And so I like to say this, that we have preparation for tomorrow. Preparation for tomorrow. Like there is one who goes ahead of us. It brings us a peace that passes all understanding. But the reality is there's also preparation for today. Like we're not here just simply wanting to hand out so-called tickets for eternity. No, at Hillside, we believe in the here and now you can encounter the living God and live that eternal life, as Jesus said, here and now. That there's a hope for tomorrow, but there's also a hope for today. I think of resurrection and what it speaks to Christ followers, that every problem has been prepared for. Every problem you and I face, it's been prepared for. Now, we may not have prepared for it, but our Father has. And Jesus, in one of his longest discourses, the Sermon on the Mount, he says some ridiculous things, y'all. It'd be fun just to read the Sermon on the Mount in the evening news. I mean, I think it would trigger too many people. They'd never do that again. But he throws out, do not worry. Do not worry. Your Father knows what you need before you even ask. I mean, let's be honest, that's ridiculous. Like, I've tried that with my kids at home. And they're like, Dad, you're ridiculous. You know, it's like, hey, don't worry about dinner, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. They're like, can I have a new dad? No, I'm kidding. Hey, you know, your Father knows what you need. And I think that that speaks to us that every pain has been prepared for. Like, I'll just be transparent with you. The people in this room and the people who call Hillside home, they're not pain-free. I'll let you know as a pastor, I'm not pain-free. But I've encountered the living God that meets me in the pain. And that while he's prepared a place for me in the future, the promise is true that he never leaves me, never forsakes me in the here and now. That every problem, every pain, and how about this? Every promise, he's prepared. Don't give up on a promise too soon. If there's a mark on your life, a call on your life, a purpose on your life, the power of the resurrection, we serve one who not only resurrects our bodies, but hear this, he resurrects the broken dreams. He resurrects the past mistakes. He resurrects the times we are our own worst enemy. He sets us free. He goes beyond the walls that we've created in our life to keep distance, to keep marginalized, to keep ourselves separate from his love. He has a way of kicking those walls down, looking us in the eye. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let your hearts be troubled. I prepare a place for you in your imperfection, in your brokenness, in your misguided ambition, in your addiction. He prepares a place for you. I think quickly here of three distinct ways. Come on. Can you have an Easter sermon without 3 points? I propose you cannot. I propose you cannot. I know other pastors can. I cannot. As much as I tried to prepare, I always land with three. Some of you are like, thank God, I thought it was going to be 30. Just three. They're all reflective of Jesus. I think if you have some familiarity with Jesus, if you have some understanding of who he is, we as Christ followers know three distinct aspects of Jesus' life. It wasn't just about Good Friday. It wasn't just about Holy Saturday. It wasn't just about the resurrection, though those are vital. It was also about his life lived. Some of us have been chasing the abundant life and not realized Jesus brings the abundant life. Some of us think just more money, more property, more earthly preparation, perhaps, and then I can rest. Jesus comes along and he pulls us. I don't know if you've been on that hamster wheel. I know I have several times, probably will again, but Jesus pulls us off that hamster wheel of exhaustion. Of control, of our own strength, and he pulls us into that easy way of Christ. And he offers us burdens that are light. I'll take that, somebody. I like a Savior that's prepared for me. I mean, I know I look super strong, but I'm not. Some of y'all will get that later. But Jesus knows the burdens, the weights we can carry, but he promises, I give you a calm path. I give you a restful path. Some verses just beyond these, Jesus would also look at his disciples. And here's the deal. It's impossible to read verse 1 without getting to what I'm about to say from John 14. Because Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. But come on, he's going to give us some steps. And he says this, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's the door to the abundant life we've been longing for. The door to the other side of the shame is Jesus. The door to the other side of our problems is Jesus. The door to the other side of our self-affliction and sin cycles is Jesus. And he's gone to prepare a way. But here's the deal. Jesus has a sense of direction, and he lays the roadmap before, and he says to the disciples, listen, I don't think, he doesn't have a little sidebar with Judas, but I know he's thinking, man, some of you, you have already lost your way. You're trusting in the powers and principalities of earth. And Judas would sell Jesus out, but he still got to hear Jesus say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. We have, you may not know this, but you have choice in this life. Which way are we going to travel? Which way are we going to move? And Jesus says, listen, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. I wrote down here, sooner or later on the Jesus road, we realize the wonder and awe of Jesus' life, his teachings, his miracles, his words and ways become serious business for us. Come on, some Easter Sundays, you just want to keep it casual. Don't you? Isn't it? I mean, we're just being honest. Sometimes when we're following Jesus, we're like, whoa, Jesus, quit being so serious. Like, come on, lighten up, man. Hey. Let's put another song in the jukebox. Let's just chill out. Why so serious, Jesus? Sometimes, if we're not careful, a few days of that turns into a few months of that, turns into a few years of that, turns into a few decades of that. We lose sight that, I'll be honest, Jesus is the funniest person I know. But he's hands down the wisest person I know. Despite what secular philosophers said over the years, Jesus is the best teacher we've ever seen. That even agnostics and atheists are still dumbfounded at the weight and the measure of the words that he would propose. And I don't think you approach serious all the time, but I do think following Jesus must have its serious moments. And that we begin to reckon that the words and advice perhaps we got growing up, our parents tried, but they were a little misguided. Our uncle, aunt tried, our teachers, our coaches, our bosses, people may even promoted us. And we begin to reflect as we dive in, we see Jesus' words are the ones that hold eternal life. Like, come on, y'all. Let's just take a stab at this. In Matthew, Sermon on the Mount. How about this one? For the rest of our days, let's just take one line and try it out for the rest of our life. Deal? Deal. You're in? You're in. Okay, you've already committed. How about this? This is Jesus. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Say, what? I mean, just that alone. There's a couple college courses only on that. It will change the way you live. Jesus' teachings are life. But it wasn't just his teaching. It wasn't just his miracles. It wasn't just his life. It would also be, as we have celebrated this past few days, the death of Jesus makes a way where there is no way. That the First Testament was leading up. This Old Testament has led up to a place where God has come now to reconcile the world unto himself. And Jesus would be the one to begin the recreation, that we are now on mission because of his death. Look at this, 2 Corinthians 5:18 in the New Living Translation. All of this, a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. And then that third thought, Jesus' resurrection has prepared a way for our future. The resurrected one has resurrected us. That our future is secure in him. Jesus would be using some Jewish customs in his words. I mean, it's not everyday language. My father's house has many rooms. I mean, when was the last time you brought that up in conversation? No. But it's a distinctly Jewish language that the audience would have known, that in culture and society in those days, the Abba, the father, is the one who had the weight of responsibility on the entire home. And that the children, children's children and beyond, would know that they are overshadowed. Jesus would say, you have a good Abba, a good father. And he's counseling the disciples and he says, listen, my father's house has many rooms. He's not limited. He's not stingy. He's faithful and true. And the mansion is full. And in a few hours, Jesus is going to prepare a place for them. And I want you to know that God has gone before you and prepared a place for you, for your future. And C.S. Lewis, he has many quotes, but one he says, if you read history, you will find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were simply those who thought the most of the next. That those who understood resurrection was coming were those who would make their life mission, one filled with purpose, one filled with preparation. See, the question we wrestle with is this. Jesus has prepared for us. Have we prepared for him? When was the last time you thought about heaven? When was the last time you read these scriptures with some time set aside for serious business? When was the last time you let God's words speak louder than the words of your hurt, your pain, and your past? See, if you dive into the scriptures, if you dive into the living water, the Holy Spirit, he will bring a peace that passes all understanding. He will give you a shelter in the midst of every life's storm. He will calm the waters that may be deep and treacherous at times. But he's prepared a place for us. But here's the deal. Are we prepared for him? You know, church and the religious systems can sometimes make it a lot to get to Jesus. But if we can clear church world, if we can clear religiosity for a moment, you would see a loving God who's not inviting you into a religion. You would see a loving God who is inviting you into relationship. One where you can hear the voice of God. Now, we're not cuckoo. You're not going to get audible. But you're going to hear God's voice in your spirit. You're going to hear God take the tension, the difficulties from work, from family, from life, and you will receive a peace that passes all understanding. God's prepared a place for you. Easter Sunday assures us so. But have you prepared your heart for him? My hope this season is that something was triggered in your life, that you'll just begin to kind of weigh out the direction you're on. You begin to just kind of assess your situation. Dare I say, you prepare. Not in the aesthetic or in the tangible, but in your soul, in your spirit. Are you prepared for what's next? Beautiful thing is, the evangelist Paul would make it very simple. Call upon the name of the Lord and get saved. And get started in the Jesus way. He will meet you right where you are, and he'll give you a hope and a future. Happy Resurrection Sunday, everybody. It's a good day. It's a good day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the hope of Jesus. We thank you for the promise in and over our lives. We thank you for the mystery of the cross, the mystery of the resurrection, the mystery in your word that says, God, you have set eternity in the hearts of humanity. Father, many of us were juggling many things in this life. Multiple responsibility, multiple focuses, God. Multiple situations that we are maneuvering and working out. And it's good that we prepare. It's good that we plan. But sometimes, Lord, we're warned of the words of Jesus that the troubles of this life can get in the way of real living. And Father, we need you like never before. Restore to us real living in relationship with you. We call upon your name right now, right here. Jesus, save us. Jesus, prepare our hearts and minds for this life and the life to come. We look to you, God, in the shadow of the cross, but in the power of the resurrection, knowing that you have prepared a place for us. Thank you, God, for your kindness. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your mercy, your forgiveness. Thank you that your word says, as we look to you, as we call upon you, you wash our inner life as white as snow. God, we receive that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.